Blog Talk Radio.
Welcome to Conversations Live, where we bring you the best in music, books, entertainment, and current events. When the movers and shakers of the world have something to say to you, they say it to us. Now, here is your host, Cyrus Webb.
And welcome back, everyone, to Conversations Live. I'm your host, Cyrus Webb. Glad you all could join us once again. For our radio audience tuning in Mississippi at WYAD 94.1 FM, we're so glad you could be with us, as well as those tuning in on the East Coast in Atlanta at 106 Live. We're glad that you could be with us. And then those listening in through blogtalkradio.com around the world, we thank all of you as well. I was just saying to our next guest that this is really a milestone for us, as I'm getting ready to celebrate 13 years on the radio in July and the launch of my own radio network. I'm really excited to welcome to our program today our 6,900th guest of the 12 and a half years that I've been able to do this show. And, you know, I think, you know, when the show first started in Mississippi some now almost 13 years ago, I had no idea where this show would lead. And I really want to thank all of you who have been with us as guests, been with us as listeners, and definitely friends of this program as well, including our next guest. Best-selling author Stina Holmes is making her first appearance on our program, which also is exciting. She's an author that I think has really been able to grab readers and really keep them to the very end of each and every one of her books. Her newest one is definitely no exception. Saving Abby is the title of the book. We're going to talk to Stina not only about the journey of doing what she loves, but what it's been like for her to see the response from her fans around the world, and then, of course, how this story, which is so powerful and for so many people so personal, how it came about and what she hopes you're able to take away from it. Stina, hello to you, and welcome to the program.
Hi, Tyrus. Thank you so much, and congratulations on this milestone. That's exciting.
Well, thank you so much for that. I really appreciate it. And congratulations to you on the new book this year, Saving Abby. Of course, we're going to be talking about that here in a moment. Speaking of milestones, I mean, we could really spend the whole segment talking about you and your literary journey, Stina. And that was what was so amazing about being able to speak with you, because you have been able to do what so many people talk about, what so many people may aspire to. You've been able to live this life of being not only a published author, but an author who has really found fans around the world. I mean, what has that been like for you to have discovered this gift for yourself and now to be able to share it the way you're able to?
Oh, it's been amazing. It's, you know, when you're growing up and you always wonder what you want, I never knew. I never was really sure what my gift was. And it took me forever, probably up until I was 30 maybe, to really figure out what my own gift was. And it was writing and telling stories that could touch other people's hearts. And it has literally changed my life. It's changed my heart. It's changed the person that I am. And it's been amazing and such an awe-inspiring journey.
Yeah. And, you know, I think just knowing that, Stina, for a lot of people will be comforting for them, because there are some people who are still in that situation. They're like, okay, time is ticking here. I mean, what is it? Okay, what do I want? You know, what do I want to do, and how am I going to get there? And when the success came, and of course we use that word, but I mean, I think for me, I know success has definitely meant different things over the years. And for some, of course, the way they see success is the notoriety that you've been able to get and what has been able to happen with your work. When all of that started coming, you know, to you because of the hard work, because of course, you're being able to share, Stina, what has that been like for you to balance that, to be able to have it appreciated the way that it is?
Actually, it's very easy for me to balance it, because it's something I'm mindful of every single day. My husband and I used to be pastors, and to be successful in what we were doing in the ministry was just being able to touch someone's life and heart and make a difference. And that's no different than what I'm doing now with my writing. It doesn't matter how many books I write or how many awards I win or how much money I make. It matters to me how many people I can touch. And if it's just one person with one book, then to me that's a success. And so when I get emails or messages from readers on a daily basis of how much I've touched them or how much they love the story, that is the world to me.
Yeah. And I'm glad you mentioned that, because I think, Stina, that's the other thing. And that is why I think your books resonate so much, because your characters are not perfect, but your characters are us, and none of us are perfect. And I think when we all kind of go through life, kind of trying to deal with what, you know, happens to us, and sometimes, of course, the consequences for our own choices, and then, of course, the things that we have no, you know, no consideration over, nothing, you know, to be able to control with. Do you think that has been what has really made people draw so into your books, because they can see so much of themselves and those they know and love in them?
Yeah, and I hear that all the time from people, which is great, because I put so much of myself into every character. I try to think of how I would react, whether it's good or ugly, and I always try and make it personable to me, knowing that if I can do that for myself, it'll be personable for my reader, so, which is great.
Right.
That's good to know that it's working.
Yeah, that leads us perfectly, Stina, to Claire and Josh that were able to meet in Saving Abby. And I think, you know, the word saving, as I was reading this book, of course, I read the back, and I had one idea in my mind of the title. And I thought about concentrating just on that word saving, because I think so many times that word can mean so much. And I think especially in different degrees of our lives, I think in many ways as we're, and I'll talk around this for those who haven't read it, in many ways Josh felt as though Claire had saved him. And then, of course, I think we all kind of know what it's like to feel as though something has happened in our lives that have rescued us. What was it like for you to kind of think about that word of being saved and the different ways that it did kind of show itself up in the story?
So, like you said, there's so many different connotations to that. It could reflect on just going through an experience and needing someone there to help you get through it, or literally saving someone else's life, or saving their heart, saving their soul, saving who they are, essentially. It was paramount to everything, to the whole theme of the book, really. It wasn't just Claire's journey and her decision that she needed to make, but it was about all the other characters that were supporting her as well. They all had their own journey to go through while she was making a decision.
Yeah, I think that is it for sure. Did you know going into this story, Stina, in particular, that you wanted to kind of equalize it and not tell it in first person, but at least allow us to see the world through both Claire and Josh's lives?
I knew that it was such a difficult subject to talk about, and there's no right or wrong answer. How one person responds to news and how they react to it affects everyone else around them. And so I knew it was really important for me to have Josh's point of view, because what Claire decided to do, it definitely affected him. And did he have a right? Was he able to give his opinion? Was it right for him to give his opinion, or did he just have to follow Claire's? And I think it was important to have his journey as well. And same with Millie. I added Claire's mother's point of view into it as well. And she's a mother who wants to save her daughter. Yet understanding that her daughter is a mother who needs to save her child, I thought it was important to share every aspect in everyone's journey and what their thoughts and how they felt.
Yeah. I think that is the thing, and I think that is what is so amazing. You mentioned Millie, one of the powerful, and it's so funny that you said that, because you and I did not talk about this before we went on, but one of the most powerful, I think, and the dialogue in this book is wonderful, but one of the things for those who have the print edition of the book, something that Millie says in the book on page 186 for those who have the print edition, Millie says, "I will fight for my daughter the same as she is fighting for her child. You can't ask me to stop doing that." And I think that it's because of things like that, you know, that people are able to say, wow, you know, and the question then becomes, you know, what would you do? I mean, we all would like to think, I know for myself, I like to think that I would be wise and I could not be selfish in making decisions if, you know, if it came down to something that could be the difference in life and death. But we really never know. What was it like for you to kind of to pose this question to these characters and to see the way that they responded to it?
Oh, it was hard because I had to put myself in their shoes and try and figure out how I would respond and take that whole, well, I know I would want to respond this way, but really, truly, how would I? And so I had to talk to my husband, and I was like, how, if this was our life and our choice, what would you want me to do? And same with my mom, I had to think about that, and I thought about my mm-hmm. own children when they're old enough to have babies. Well, how would I respond as a mom? I know how I would, and I know how I should. Again, there's no right or wrong answer, but it was really hard to dive into that and to make it real. I had to make it real.
Yeah, for sure. And another thing I want to share later is from the letter, which I think you know what I'm talking about, Stina. I think it's so powerful. And again, talk about courage, and we'll definitely get into that. For those who are just tuning in, either on the radio side or online, you're listening to Conversations Live. We are celebrating a very big day for us here at Conversations Live as I'm welcoming my 6,900th guest. Of my 12 and a half years of hosting this program, both on the radio dial and then, of course, the 8 years that we've been able to host it online as well. We're joined today by best-selling author Stina Holmes. We're talking with her not only about her own journey, her own success, but also her newest book, Saving Abby. We'll tell you a little bit later how you can stay connected with Stina, as well as get the book for yourself. Fear is something that comes up in this book in interesting ways, Stina, and I was curious when I was prepping for the segment with you. I mean, you have had such overwhelming success. I mean, you know, we talked earlier about the balancing, but, I mean, for you, what is it that keeps it fun? Because, of course, you're doing what you love, but it is a business. How do you keep the joy in it?
Okay, well, so that is very easy for me to do. I love to interact with my readers. And so when I get overwhelmed and it gets stressful with all the business aspect of writing, I will go online, and I have a reader group that's on Facebook. And so I will go in with them, and I will chat with them and ask them questions, and I'll interact on my author page on Facebook. And that helps to bring the joy back, to make me remember why I'm doing this, that it's all about the readers. And so I like to focus on them, and that helps.
Yeah. And again, to have such passionate readers, I mean, thousands upon thousands of them that stay connected with you through social media, and then, of course, to be able to meet them as well. I think, you know, we talk about being present a lot on this program, Stina, and I think, you know, that has to definitely play into that for sure for you. I referenced the letter that's in this book, and again, I mean, there's such courage that shows up in, you know, in these characters, in particular with Claire. And I think, you know, there are so many people, you know, who will look at her, I think, one or two ways. One of, you know, I hope that I could be like her. And then others, you know, seeing, okay, how is this possible, you know, that someone could be like this? I mean, what was it like for you to think about that? You talked about the conversations, you know, with your husband, and then, of course, thinking about your own mom and then your kids. What was it like for you to think about Claire and the strength that she was able to have in this situation?
So I've always been a little nervous about Claire because I know readers would have one or two reactions towards her. They would love her, and they could sympathize with her, and they would place themselves in her shoes, or they can think she was very selfish and not get her at all and not understand where she was coming from. And I knew I had to be really careful trying to balance that while remaining true to the story and what Claire would want to do. But it's always been a little bit of a, I hope readers will understand that they'll be okay, whether they agree or they don't, that they will at least continue to read the story towards the end. Claire's strength is so good. It's so strong. She's such an amazing character.
Right. And I think I thought about, too, and again, you know, unfortunately, as I said earlier in the conversation, Stina, this is, unfortunately, the reality for so many people who have to make these choices. And, you know, I think, you know, there will always be those, as there is in Saving Abby, there will be people who will try to tell individuals what they should do. But then there is, of course, the thought of, you know, what you believe to be the best thing. And that's why I wanted to just reference the letter. And so, again, so I won't spoil anything for those who haven't read it, we are going to be telling them how they can get it. One of the things that, you know, that she's able to say in this letter, that Claire is able to say, is this: when you're lonely or afraid, think of me beside you, supporting you in every decision you make. I'd be there to give you a hug when you need it, a shoulder to cry on, and a hand to hold. And what I thought about was, and it's so interesting that you mentioned your own background, because I thought about, for those individuals of faith, we feel as though we have that already. I mean, was that kind of part of what you were thinking with that letter?
Oh, it could have been. I honestly didn't think of that. I just wanted, when I was writing that letter, I tried to think about what I would want to say and the message that I would want to get across. Letter came right from my heart. And probably because of that, the faith aspect just came out naturally, probably.
Yeah, yeah. And I think it's one of those things that definitely is assuring, because I think the biggest thing for anybody, and I talk about this a lot on the show, is that I think the worst thing is for someone to feel as though they're alone. And I think to know, for Claire to be able to say in that letter something that, you know, is good for all of us to remember, that we don't have to walk in this world of darkness alone, that there, you know, we have that to be able to hold on to, I think is definitely a comforting thing. So because there are so many layers to this, and of course we're not going to spoil it for those who haven't read it, but I mean, did you feel as though, because I did think about this, you know, and maybe you can't tell me, and I totally understand that, but did you believe that this journey was over for these characters when you finished this book?
No. It's not.
Oh, that's good.
That's all I can say.
What? Okay. Hey, that is good enough for me. I'll take it. Well,
good,
yeah, because
I
yeah, so, you know, I thought to myself, I'm like, okay, I mean, this almost seems like a new beginning. That's what went through my mind, that the ending seemed like a new beginning. So, again, now, you know, our audience has to read it to figure out how that could definitely be. But I think it is one of those things that, and of course, people are going to love that as well. Do you feel, as an added question, now that you've answered that one, do you ever feel pressure in that area of, for, you know, because people do become so invested in these characters, and we as crazy readers, we feel as though these characters are just supposed to stay around because for us they are so real. Do you ever feel any added pressure that maybe when you think something is over that you know, because of, you know, what you hear, you wonder, I wonder, is that really the end for them?
So I learned when I first published Finding Emma, which was my first big novel that came out, readers were so invested in that story, and I only intended it to be a one book. It was the end of the story. That was the end. I didn't see anything more for it. But readers loved it so much that I ended up doing little novellas and then another story to it. And in total, there's like 5 different stories that came out of that one book. I keep that in mind now when I write my stories. If this is going to be something that readers are going to love, even though every novel I write is a standalone in my mind,
right.
I keep the possibility that, okay, if they're going to want to know more, I need to think about that. How will I handle that? What can I do? And that's what I love about this journey that I'm on with self-publishing and traditional publishing. You can do that for readers. It's not just a standalone book anymore. If they're wanting more, then you can give them the little insights into the characters' lives and those little pieces that people are wanting to dive into.
Right.
I love that aspect.
Yeah. And I should say, you know, for those who don't know a bit of Stina's journey, she is published by Lake Union Publishing, of course, a part of Amazon Publishing. And, I mean, really have produced some tremendous books. And this is one of those for sure. And I think, again, Stina, that's why people, you know, love and respect your work and love and respect your journey, because it gives them hope for what is possible for them. I think especially with the world that we live in today, it's so different than it used to be when it comes to publishing. And then, of course, the interaction that you give your readers, I know they appreciate that, and it only makes the journey even sweeter. Saving Abby, again, is the new book by bestselling author Stina Holmes. Make sure you all head over to Amazon.com and get it for yourself for sure. And Stina, you mentioned, of course, staying connected with your readers. How can they stay connected with you and keep up what's coming up next for you?
Well, they can go over to my website. It's www.stinaholmes.com and sign up for my newsletter. I love to write interesting pieces, stuff from my heart or what I'm reading, and I send those out in my newsletter every month. I also have a travel blog that I've just been starting so I can share my passion for traveling, and it's stinatravels.com. And then you can, of course, come over to Facebook and find me on my author page. It's facebook.com/stinaholmes.author. And I would love to connect with you, and you can find out more about my reader group and maybe get involved that way so we can connect on a daily basis. I love interacting with my readers, and so any opportunity I have puts a smile on my face and makes my day that much brighter.
Awesome. Well, make sure you all are definitely staying connected with Stina. Stina, congratulations to you again. Thank you so much for the time. And look, it goes without saying, you're welcome back here anytime. Looking forward to having you back on.
Awesome. Thank you so much, and congratulations to your own milestone. That's awesome.
Thank you so much for that, Sandy, and congratulations to you as well, for sure. And we thank your audience for tuning in to another great segment of Conversations Live. For our radio audience, thank you all for tuning in to another great hour. For those joining us online, thank you all for tuning in to another great segment. If you all came in late and you missed part of the conversation with Stina and you're joining us online, don't worry. Thanks to our online friends, you all can catch the replay right after we go off the air. The link is already available through our social media sites, and we did you guys a favor. We've already tagged Stina both on Facebook and Twitter with the link, so you can head over to facebook.com/CyrusWeb or go over to twitter.com/CyrusWeb. You can click on the link there, listen to the show completely for free, and share it with your friends from there. Until next time, I'm your host, Cyrus Webb, saying, as always, enjoy your day, enjoy your life, enjoy your world. Make sure you take out time to enjoy some good music as well as a great book. Thank you all for choosing Conversations Live. You all make it a great one.